Turn to Colossians chapter 1. If you're using the Pew Bibles, it's on page 833. We are going to read, Marie is going to read for us, Colossians 1, 24 through chapter 2, verse 5. So if you're following along on the Pew Bible, it's the last couple of paragraphs on that page.
Hear the word of the Lord. Now I rejoice in what was suffered for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions, for the sake of his body, which is the church. I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the saints. To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of the mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. We proclaim him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. To this end, I labor, struggling with all his energy, which so powerfully works in me. I want you to know how much I am struggling for you and for those in Laodicea and for all who have not met me personally. My purpose is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I tell you this, so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. For though I am absent from you in the body, I am present with you in the spirit, and delight to see how orderly you are and how firm your faith in Christ is. May the Lord add his blessing to this, the reading of his holy word.
Thank you very much, Marie. I appreciate that. When we communicate with someone we haven't spoken to for a while, whether it's face to face or by phone or in a letter, the conversation typically has a natural flow. First, there are the pleasantries, as I will call them. It is so nice to hear from you. I was just thinking about you. Hello. Then there is the update after the pleasantries. This is what I have been up to since we last communicated. Oh, the kids are growing, jobs of pain, whatever. And then finally, there is the reason for the call or the letter. While I have you, I need to ask, or I need to say, or I need to request. Now, this section of Paul's letter to the church in Colossae, is that middle section, the update. We find out what Paul has been up to, and in so hearing, we discover quite a bit about life in ministry. As Paul stated, and we read last week in verse 23, and again what Marie read in verse 25 this week, Paul is saying that he is a servant, a diakonos. A term meaning deacon or waitstaff or minister. Someone who cares for the needs of the people. That is what Paul says he is. I have become a servant to the gospel. In verse 23, I have become a servant by the commission of God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness. He says in verse 25. What can we learn from Paul's life that will impact our life, that will help us with our ministry, whether it is ministry in the home, ministry in the church, ministry in the community? How are we to carry out this care for others? And I want to begin in looking at this. Where is my... Sorry. Forgot that I had the clicker with me. Starting in the middle, sort of. These verses form two peaks with a valley in the middle. And the peaks are found in verse 27 and 28 in verses 2 and 3 of chapter 2. And the fact is, the peak of this passage is that the fullness of ministry is found. The structure of these verses point to the mystery. And we have in verses 27 and 28, to them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this ministry, of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Verse 26, sorry, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but now disclosed to you, the saints. Our modern understanding of mystery is true crime podcasts. Can we figure out who did it? But that's not the way biblical readers would have understood mystery. Mystery is something that has been hidden, that either will be or has been revealed. And what Paul is saying here in this passage of Scripture is that what was once hidden for ages and generations has now been disclosed, uncovered, exposed, and now visible to the saints, the holy ones, the people of faith. We know, Paul will say, the mystery of God. We know the hidden of God's plans and purposes. That plan and purpose that began with Abraham and God saying, go, leave your homeland and travel to the place I will show you. Go. And one day it'll all become clear. We live in a world where, through Christ, it's all clear. We know the mystery of God. Christ in you. And really what it's saying is Christ in the midst of you. Because that you is plural. It's not Christ in us as individuals, but it's Christ in the midst of us. Christ among us. And what this is saying is God's plan of salvation is one that includes the church in Colossae. That it has been Paul's privilege and those who have carried on the gospel to share that the truth of what Christ is, truth of what God is doing in Christ is for all people. That we find pagans, we find non-Jewish people in Jesus' family tree. It's always been there, but it has been hidden. We find that the conquered nations throughout the Old Testament were folded into God's people. They were always there, And now, redemption has come. Because redemption was not ever only for the Jewish people. But the hope of glory comes to all who trust in Christ. And then he goes on in verse 2 and 3. And says, so that you may have the full riches of complete understanding, and so that you may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. All truth, all understanding is found in Him, through Him. There is no longer any hidden teaching. There is no longer any cryptic passage or code, but all has been exposed and expressed. The great mystery, which is Christ. The hope of glory, which is Christ. The redemption of God's people, which is in Christ. All we need to know, all we need to express, is found in Christ. We have the hope of glory, the very presence of Christ graciously given, that we might have eternal life. And this enables us to fulfill our calling. And the call of ministry is comprehensive. On either side of these verses that include the mystery, before it and after it, before it and after it. Verses 25, 28, verses 2 and verses 5, 4 and 5. We have our calling surrounded by this mystery. Paul is calling all those who know the mystery of Christ, know the hidden things that have been revealed in Christ, to present God's word in fullness. Now, it is unclear if that is to present God's word fully, to be always sharing all that we know about Christ, all that we know about the Bible, or is it to fully, in every way, in every part of our lives, completely share God's word, present God's word? And I think it's the latter. I think it is not that we share everything we know with everyone all at the same time, but rather that there are always opportunities to share biblical truth, and that our job is to distribute God's word wisely, likely in informal ways. When people talk about things, casually, conversationally. Not chapter and verse, but biblical truth. I believe the Bible says this, or I believe this, or God says this. And it's not always popular, but God says that we ought to be filling and presenting God's word in its fullness. Verse 28. Paul's calling us to proclaim the truth. We proclaim him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. This is the more formal Bible study. This is the more formal sermons and proclamations and orations so that everyone is perfected. Everyone is in the process of being made whole, complete, finished. Not that we ever reach it, but that we are moving toward closer reflection of God. Chapter 2, verse 2. On the other side of that mystery passage, my purpose is that we may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that we may have all the riches of complete understanding. Our hope is that those who hear us and those that carry on the message beyond us would have courage and would have community in which to share. There is nothing better than having a community of faith, a church, a Bible study, someplace where we can work out our faith with fear and trembling, where we can share our testimony. And not that we polish it, but that we get stronger, more encouraged, because those outside the church are not going to embrace your testimony as much as those that are within the fellowship. And so we share and we encourage and we reinforce what God is doing in one another's lives, so that when we have the opportunity, we can go forth and encourage and united in love, we can share the full riches of complete understanding. And then verse 4. I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine sounding arguments. We converse in Christ. We proclaim the gospel. We encourage one another to share what God's doing in our lives, and we prepare one another so that we can not be deceived by fine sounding argument. Our desire is that the faithful might be built up. And building up the faith means that we protect one another from those who would try to tear us down. So like Paul, we are called to experience and express the good news of God's redemption. Some of us know the truth, and we are to share that truth in formal and informal ways, encouraging and rebuking, doing all we can that the word of God increases. The mystery of God is revealed. That which was once hidden is now exposed, is further brought into light. And if you don't know the truth of the gospel, I encourage you to know that in what Paul's saying is the truth of the gospel is everywhere. It's like, where's Waldo? That you look at this big picture and you say, oh, there it is. Oh, there's his umbrella. Oh, there's the beach ball. Oh, there it is. If you are willing to look. And for those of you that know Jesus as the Lord and Savior, have understood the mystery that has been revealed, Christ in us, the hope of glory, then you need to be salting your conversation, as Paul will write later in the letter to the church. Salt your conversation with biblical truth. Even if it's just a hint. Maybe it's something that you plant a seed and it comes back later, so that they don't hear the argument, those fine sounding arguments, just the same way. Some of our responsibility is to plant a seed so what sounded fine yesterday doesn't sound quite as fine today. We do this with everyday conversations. We do it with elaborate Bible studies, encouraging and equipping the saints to stand firm in God's word. And this calling enables us to endure the challenges we face. Surrounded by the mystery is the calling. And surrounded by the calling, unfortunately, is challenge. The road of ministry is rough. Verse 24, I rejoice in what was suffered for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions for your sake, for the sake of his body, which is the church. Paul rejoices in suffering for their sake. His suffering is, as he puts it, filling up what is lacking in Christ's affliction. Now, before we go any further, we need to say what is not being said here. We need to understand that Paul is not saying that the death and resurrection of Christ is insufficient. We need only look at Colossians 2, 13 and 14, which tells us that the work of the cross is complete for our eternal life. So if it is not that Christ's afflictions are lacking something, what is Paul saying here? What is exactly he doing? What Paul is saying is, I serve as a representative of Christ. I am suffering the afflictions of Christ. I am suffering with Christ. In other places in Paul's letters, he talks about sharing in the sufferings of Christ, enduring the cross, dying to self. He is saying, much like he says in Philippians 3, 10 and 11, I am living for Christ. I am dying for Christ. But what is lacking is sometimes the question. And what Paul has shown us in his other letters is what is lacking is personal presence. Many times in his letters he talks about someone coming, Epaphroditus coming, to provide what was lacking in your service, to provide what was lacking in your offering. And it is always that they were together personally. And so I and others, and you can disagree and we can have conversations later, but what I think Paul is saying is he is providing that personal presence. He is providing that living representation of who Christ is. And we do the same for those around us. Those who identify with Christ will suffer for Christ as we represent Christ. And he goes on to say in verse 29, on the other side of this hill, to this end I labor, struggling with all his energy which so powerfully works in me. Verse 1, I want you to know how much I am struggling for you and for those in Laodicea and for all those who I have not met, who have not met me personally. He became a testimony of what God can do through us. And we can most effectively proceed in the strength or in the energy of Christ. Elsewhere in scriptures, it declares that in our weakness, we demonstrate God's strength. And that's what Paul is saying here. I am struggling. I am toiling. I am working hard. But it's not me who's working. It is Christ in me. He is providing the energy that I need. He is providing the power that I require. And then finally in verse 5, Paul represents Christ in his hardship of separation. He is apart from the church. In this case, he is imprisoned and unable to actually see them face to face as much as he would desire. But he is sending this letter, and he is sending someone with this letter so that they might have a personal presence of someone who is living for Christ. And even so, he says, while I may not be present in body, I am present with you in spirit. And I delight to see your orderliness, your firmness of faith, because you have fought the good fight. You have shared the truth. You have understood the mystery. Like Paul, we are expected to serve as representative of the risen Savior and endure hardship and expend toil. But also, like Paul, God grants us joy in the midst of that struggle. Our sermon in a sentence is this: serving the Lord faithfully will be wearying and worthwhile. Yes, the road of ministry is rough. It is filled with suffering, strife, separation. In this world, the faithful will have trouble. But take heart in knowing that Jesus has overcome this world. And while we are here, we have a calling to make him known through every means and message and media we have. We've been blessed that we live in such a time when that which was hidden, the mystery, has been uncovered. And so, like Paul, we rejoice in it all. We rejoice that we serve as a representative of Christ, sharing the gospel, which has been richly revealed to us. Serving the Lord faithfully will be wearying, but God will give us power. And it will be worthwhile, because we will see, both in ourselves and in others, that the word is being understood, the word is being strengthened, our faith is being established and ordered and firm. And it's all because people like you and I, who have heard and have come to understand the mystery of Christ, which is Christ in us, Christ among us, that we were willing to heed the call, to do the work, even though it was tough. Let us rejoice in that. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word of truth, and we thank you for the very fact that in the midst of challenging times, you give us reasons to rejoice. Help us. For those that don't yet understand the mystery, may you speak to their hearts through your Spirit, and that they may recognize the great gift of grace that was given us in Christ. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.